Howdy, y'all, and welcome to the Ears Podcast, produced by Terrier TV. I am Frank Alligator Rob. That is Cindy. That is Bill. That is Nico. What's happening, guys? How's it going?
It's going well. You sounded really confident that time that you definitely did know our names.
I took a big breath, and I said it all with one long breath, and just like a fire-breathing dragon.
Proud of you, Frank.
There we go.
Every now and then I do something that, I feel like patting myself on the back, so.
Yeah.
If that was the best thing I did today, it is what it is, and I'll take it in stride.
There you go. Setting the bar.
I had a conversation earlier with our guest in a couple of weeks. Or no, it's our guest next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was sharing. Did you get a chance to listen to any of that?
No, I was at work.
What are you doing at work? Come on.
it's overrated.
Very, very overrated. Yeah.
She's a super.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. I didn't say it earlier, so I had to say it at some point. We got some amazing things lined up, but we got a pretty amazing guest here today. And she has interviewed me before, so it's pretty fun.
Oh, has she really?
Yeah, it's pretty fun for me now.
Oh,
to,
you poor thing.
To interview her.
It was one of our best.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. Which is funny. The bearded barefoot guy, I'm not sure why that was one of the best.
Alligator that you brought.
That's true. That's true. It was all Greg. Yeah, it's Greg with three G's.
Do you know he never brings alligators in here for us?
No.
What?
Never.
Yeah,
that was I brought critters in.
You brought buckets of snakes, dude. And you brought that lizard that was on your head.
Yeah, buckets of snakes and a lizard. Yes, uh-huh.
We got the bucket of snakes too.
Yeah. You actually had a pretty good experience with a snake.
I did.
I didn't know you were totally not a snake person.
I'm not a snake person.
She bellied up the bar. I had no idea it was a thing.
But you know, whenever I have a fear, I'm like, all right, let's face it. Give me the snake.
Frank is the right person to help you do that.
Yeah.
Cindy knows all about critters that she doesn't want in her backyard, and it's a thing.
Yeah,
it's a thing.
Indeed.
All right, so you guys ready to jump into this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I'm knocking on the thing I'm supposed to knock on. I tell all the guests not to knock on it, then I find myself running my fingers around on it.
Don't hit the table. Don't hit the floor. Boom, boom, boom. Hits the table.
Have I ever boom, boom, boomed?
Oh, no, just two. Never three times.
Have I double stomped it before?
It's usually me doing that.
Do you honestly? Yeah.
Yes. No, do you notice?
Like every time.
You notice this is fixed?
I did notice that. Thank you.
It doesn't do it, yeah.
Oh, was it wobbling or something?
Yeah, yes. What would happen, it would wobble and it would hit my table and it would make a little boom sound in the microphone.
You fixed it.
We fixed it.
I never noticed that.
Well, that's because you just don't pay attention, Frank.
No, it's okay. I can deal with that. That's the least of the insults I've dealt with this week.
I know. Do you get roasted on here every day?
No, I feel like traditionally we all kind of give each other nice little prods.
Little pokes.
And it's a loving relationship.
Yeah,
It's a friendly, loving
relationship. Loving poke.
You want your friends to be able to, if anybody can give you a hard time, it's your friends and your family.
A little bit of teasing. I agree. You know, that kind of thing.
It's
deserved.
It's part of the love.
I mean, look at me. Gee whiz. All right. So today on the podcast, we are joined by Nico Lehman. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely.
You are the host of the Celebrity Brevard's local Celebrity Brevard podcast.
You're not the first one.
I'm like, I'm trying
to say Brevard first.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it is in Brevard.
It's local Celebrity Brevard.
Local Celebrity Brevard. Okay. Yeah. Tell us
before
we jump.
On the graphic,
I know. Right? I didn't want to stare at that. I'm supposed to be looking at her. So tell us a little bit about your career journey, because you've had an incredible journey that started here in Brevard.
Yes.
And you left for a while and you came back. So tell us a little bit about all that.
Yeah. So I was raised here, went to elementary through high school, college. I went to UF. And then I moved up to New York City and I started working for MTV. And I got my editor's credentials. From there, I started producing and editing. I've worked for Bravo, A&E, Discovery, just doing mostly reality shows or like docu-style shows. And then after the pandemic, everything went remote. So we were sort of free to leave the hustle and bustle of the city. And you know, my husband's from here too, so we just decided we would give our daughter a similar upbringing, which part of me was like, but I made it out okay. I think she will too.
Oh yeah.
How early on, being being here in Brevard, how early on in your career did you or your educational journey, did you understand this is what you want to do for a living?
Oh no, that's what gets me, and I think that's why I'm back to sort of fluff some feathers, because growing up, we weren't really told or that we could make something of ourselves to this caliber. But I don't know. So I never thought that I would be a television editor, or a producer. So it was like a pleasant surprise, I think. And after college, I did come back to my hometown and I just got in loads of trouble, you know, and that summer, like a hurricane came or something. And that was sort of like the catalyst of like, all right, you now have nothing to lose. Why don't you just pack your bags and go? And I did. It took me a year to sort of muster up the courage to do that.
So even after your college degree, you weren't really sure?
No, because I didn't want to go to college. I only went because my mother, like the look on her face was like, please God, go to college. So I was like, what am I going to do in college? I'll get my art degree. I was like, I'll just have fun and make art all day. And that's what I did. I got my art degree. And, you know, out of college, what are you supposed to do with an art degree? I don't know because I never really felt like a true artist, you know, like there's so many other people that had their talents were just like far beyond mine, but I always loved art and it was like, you know, the funnest subject. So I was just like, fine, I'll just go. And I completed it in 3 years, which is why I gave myself a year off. But
when you leave Brevard and you head to New York, what in the world were you thinking? What was the plan? Was there any plan, or are you just going, you know what? Let's just see what happens.
Let's just see what happens. Pretty much. Okay. I had a foot in the door, so I took it. You know, I started at MTV just ad-lotting their tapes, just working in the library, sorting through their tapes, and then, you know, one thing leads to another, and my first like real solid gig was working for MTV's Made. They took high school students and sort of transformed them into whatever they wanted to be, whether it was like, you know, the nerdiest girl wants to be the prom queen. And so they, you know, take them and do like rigorous, they hook them up with a coach and they just challenge them for like 8 weeks. And then there's like a major event and, you know, they either do it or they don't, but the transformation was always there. So I did like
it. I used to love that show. Oh, I used to watch it all the time.
Yeah, that's a great premise for a TV show.
It was so great, and I feel like they need to revive it. I mean, yeah, I learned so much from just editing and watching the footage of, you know, how to break dance. I learned how to do that because, like, it took step by step. Or, like, I don't know. There was a really good show. I won a few Emmys along the way, and that's where I got my start. And then I still remember the day they called me and were like, okay, because I was doing the night shift. So I was going to the subways at like 2 a.m. Like, it was crazy. And I did that for over a year, maybe closer to 2 years. So when I got the phone call of like, okay, you're going to be promoted, you're going to be an editor now, and you get to work in the daytime. Like, I just like skipped across Broadway where I was at. And I almost did one of those like the little hoppity hops. And I was like,
you hit the lottery.
I hit the lottery. I finally, like, all that hard work and struggle, it paid off. I mean, you guys should have seen my first apartment. The day I left, or like 2 weeks before I left, I saw a little mouse go by and I was like, what am I living in? My roof was falling off. Like, there's mushrooms growing out of the ceiling. It was like, I would never do it now. But I think at that point, I didn't feel like I had anything left to lose. And if I didn't do it, if I didn't just take that leap, then where was I going to end up?
It's great that you took the dive into it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was your dream. That's your dream.
Yeah.
And now you're living it. I mean, that couldn't ask for anything more.
I don't think I could. No.
That's great.
I mean, I do have other aspirations, but, you know, I'm in a really good spot. Yeah.
Was there anything from the art degree that has helped you through this? There has to be, as far as like Absolutely. Designing a set and stuff like that, or kind of maybe talking people through things.
Yeah. Actually, I did take my first editing class. Like, I think it was like an animation class. So I was familiar with the way that an editing system worked. So I think that helped. Yeah.
Technical thing. What did you edit on?
Final Cut, Premiere, or Avid. Avid is like the number one.
Yeah, we started off here. We were at an Avid school for a time.
Oh, yeah?
We did, yeah. But now we're doing Premiere.
Premiere, yeah. And now there's that new DaVinci that I'm kind of curious about. I like Avid the best.
Yeah, the DaVinci is free.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why a lot of the kids use it. Because they can get a hold of it and it's free.
Yeah, I hear it's really easy to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And then you can step up. There's a more technical version of it.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the thing about editing is once you learn one platform, it pretty much translates.
Yes, absolutely. And you can take like your keys, all your things, and you can, you know, it's a little different. It takes a little, maybe a day or two to sort of get on that new tricycle. But yeah, it's all kind of the same.
To learn what the shortcuts are.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
They are.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So. Yeah.
The last time I was editing it was VHS and we were using little thing about.
Yeah.
We did deck to deck.
Yes. Yeah. When I started at we were doing tapes, you know, DV tapes, and now it's like crazy to think about because everything's digital. But
it's
nuts. I would just load tapes, like dozens and dozens of tapes at night, so that the editors in the daytime would have all the footage that they need. And then slowly they were like, well, you know, I was like, can I please cut something? Like, let me prep something for you. And they let me, and, you know, I had a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you were back in the time, and this is in the weeds, I know, when you had to digitize tapes.
Yeah, digitize tapes. I was a digitizer.
Oh. Yeah. Now, get this, Frank. You couldn't just take something from your camera and put it to your computer. Mm-mm. You know, because it's a digital file on your camera and it goes straight into the computer. It was an analog file. You had to digitize it and then you could put it into the computer. So you had to do it real time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was such a pain.
Yeah, it was real time, which is why we had like, you know, a handful of edit bays. And I would just like run around from each one and pop one in and then just chill out for a minute. And then after that hour came by, I would do another round, and it like the decks were like huge. They were like towers.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and all
they
the
put
buttons.
Off so much heat.
Yeah. Yes. They were always like running, and it was crazy. But
this is another example. The more I think about it, and we see this. It's not every episode I talk about this, but it's pretty often. The people who are at the pinnacle of their profession have done every piece of it leading up to where they're at.
Yeah.
And there's something to be said for that. There really is.
Yeah. That's like that reality show where they take the CEO or the head boss and put them down
Undercover boss.
Yeah.
Is that still airing? Because that was a lot of fun too.
I don't know.
That was
I watch
fun
old
one
clips
too.
Of it on TikTok.
Do you?
I don't know why that keeps popping up.
That's
in my feed.
That's interesting. I was going to say, it's been a while since I actually like sat down to watch television and TikTok it is.
we were talking about that too. Yeah, television's kind of gone, isn't it?
A lot of it. Oh, yeah. What they used to call appointment television, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock
yes.
on such and such a channel. I'm going to watch this show. Yeah, that's gone.
It is.
That's. I mean, especially for the young people.
Yeah.
I mean,
it even feels like sitcoms are gone. I mean, again, yep. I'm not quite sure because I don't turn the TV on. We got one of those TVs that looks like a frame, like a picture frame.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it most of the time it's off.
Yeah. I asked kids, I said, you know, do you watch television?
Do they?
No.
No. What do
no.
they? No, they're
they
just.
They watch their phone.
Yep.
They'll look at something on a tablet.
Yeah.
You
it's
know,
crazy.
The only thing is sports.
Yeah. That's the only time our TV is on when my husband watches sports.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I feel it too. The industry is drying up. So unless you're working for something that's, you know, has some hype behind it, like a lot of people are struggling in the TV world right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a transformation. Now something will come out of it.
I think
so. It's not going to, cause people are still going to watch things, but the way they watch it is
different.
Changing.
Completely different.
So changing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed MTV is getting involved with a lot of other like movie productions and stuff. Speaking
oh,
of
really?
MTV, I noticed a lot of the, a lot of the bigger shows on
Yellowstone.
TV. Yeah. They're all
is
MTV
is
productions.
An MTV show.
Oh,
yeah.
It's made by
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
On most all those big shows, you see MTV productions that lead it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which shocked me. The first time I saw it, I went,
they've always
whoa,
done
look
a lot
at
of
MTV.
Movies.
Look at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got off a show in the 90 Day Fiancé realm. So I just worked for TLC. But I'm going back to MTV at the end of the month.
Are you?
Yeah. A lot of, after Made, I went into the Teen Mom world. So I worked for that show, and I think they're bringing it back. So
wow.
I'm excited to catch up with them because now their kids are teenagers, and I wonder if the cycle will continue.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
wow. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
I know. And that's how long it's been, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
What have been some of your favorites? I mean, you said that was one of your favorite. What have been some of your favorites and maybe some things you learned or picked up from them you didn't expect?
I really liked working for Too Cute. So that was the show on Discovery where they would follow along like a set of kittens or puppies. Into,
I like it already.
Yeah. Into getting their forever home is what they would call it. And the guy that did the cranberry commercials, you know, that old voice that would do the cranberry commercials. He yes. was the voice of Too Cute too. And I got a chance to sit with him and do his voiceovers. And it was kind of cool. Yeah.
I have neat. To go find this show now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to look that one up. So it sounds fun.
It's crazy. Like that's where a lot of my like storytelling skills got pulled out. Because really, you are just taking footage of these critters and you have to construct a story of just footage of them moving around. So like we had to name one of them, one or two, and give them a characteristic that they would overcome and then they would get their forever home. Or maybe sometimes they would stay. They would be the one and only one that stayed with mom or whatever, aww. You know. But it was fun to kind of, I remember one time in elementary school, a speaker came and their job was to be a storyteller. And it stuck with me so much. And I was like, wow, what a great job. You just go around town and tell stories. And so
that used to be the job, you know, long before any technology. That was the person everybody wanted to be around. That was people's TV.
Yeah.
That was the person.
Yep. That was the way that like history was told too, right?
No joke.
But yeah, I think I took that thought with me. I mean, it's still here with me today. And it was super fun to like create these stories out of footage. And I became very good at when it came to like the Teen Mom world and stuff to create drama or like, you know, take a conversation to the very edge of what it was. And then you get to add music and it's fun and... you know, evoke some feelings, whether they're crying or having a blowout. Like, I don't know. It's just such a fun job that.
Of all these shows, you must have some crazy stories of things that have happened when you guys have been around. Can you share a couple of those with us? Maybe the top weird ones. You even got to say what show it was. Just give us a couple.
I don't know because I think the field has more of those stories and like post you kind of just hear what happened. but yeah, I will say this last show that I worked on, there was a scene where somebody was crying and the producer then is like, I don't want to say their name, but they're like, that's too much. And then she just comes up from crying and be like, oh, really? That's too much. And I was like, I was taken aback.
And this was reality TV?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they're like, cut it out. Just like, because this woman, I don't know, my God.
Wow.
She tricked me too until I was like, because she was crying so loud. And, you know, we get notes from the network and they're like, why does she sound like she's crying so loud? Like, can we lead up to like, so I'm looking for sniffles or like I'm looking at the raw footage to see like what, how did this come about? And I discover that and I'm like, oh my God, what a lunatic. Like, yeah. Wow. Yeah. And she's like, okay, I'll pull it back.
Oh, my
but
goodness.
But I think even the field producer was like, I'm dealing with a lunatic right now. Like, why are you even doing that? We're not asking like, you to cry. Like
nobody
that.
Made you do that.
Nobody made you do that. You're just so weird.
Man, this is a comedy show.
Right.
What percentage of reality TV is actually reality?
So, I mean, like what you see is really did happen. Sometimes the producers need to sit two people down and sort of milk this conversation. So like the conversation happened. Yes, for real. We're not totally feeding them lines all the time. But we are being like, can you just talk about this or can you talk about that? So it's not totally organic a lot of times, but it's not totally fake either.
When you see shows that are like long-running reality TV shows on TV, like Survivor and Big Brother and stuff like that, what from being in that world, what are your thoughts about shows like that? How do they keep people interested? What is it about a show like that that's drawing people in and keeping them in that world?
Okay, yeah, well, that's storytelling. And, you know, what us editors do, you know, a boring conversation when manipulated can be fascinating, right? Also, if you have enough footage of a certain individual, you can pull, we have this term called Frankenbite. And it's what it sounds like. You take pieces of what they have said in the past and you piece them together to make a coherent sentence. So if you're ever watching TV and they're not on camera and you're not seeing their lips move and you're like, whoa, why does that sound a little weird? It's because it's a Frankenbite.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of times we don't do it like nefariously. Like, we need to make the story make sense. Yeah. So if we need to like pull a word, if they say like her and it's not addressing who is her, then we need to get, well, it's Nancy's. And so we kind of construct a sentence that makes sense so that the viewer can stay engaged. And then there's always, you know, pumping up the drama and cliffhanging, right?
Yeah, that's just so funny hearing somebody from that world talk about it, because you can tell.
I know. I wonder how much trouble I'm going to get.
Well, sometimes you see it worse on some shows than the others, but you're always like, nothing like poking the person so-and-so to make them say what you want them to.
Yeah.
You know, just even from just interviewing the person, literally while they're the person's in front of them, maybe they're at a tribal council or something, but who knows.
Yeah. Another little secret is, you know, when you see the interviews and they have this luxurious background, that is a green screen with a plate. They're not in their bedroom. You know, they're not in their kitchen. They are behind a green screen, and then you find whatever background you want to give them. And it looks clean and it looks nice, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Everything we know is a lie, Frank.
Yeah, well, it is. What I mean, I knew reality TV only had certain parts of it that were actually reality.
It's entertainment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what I tell people all the time about the animal show reality TVs. I'm like, there's not a whole lot of reality involved. I mean, there's something there that's real, but not a whole lot of it.
Yeah. I mean, it's very construed, right? Like these puppies and kittens, they're not giving us lines they're just running around.
Which is cute enough. I kind of like the idea.
It's so cute. Yeah, you guys got to catch that.
I need to look into that one without a doubt. Uh-huh. Okay, so I gave you some homework.
Yes.
Let's jump into homework time.
Right.
Wait, is there a method to your madness? Do you have a topic?
Yes. Well, I looked at my phone and all my tabs that were open. And I was like, what am I into? Like, what's going on here? So
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got it from like my open tabs.
I liked it. Okay, I like it. That's pretty good. That's an ingenious idea.
Yes, that might be my favorite way we've had these picks so far.
Yeah. We hear some strange ones sometimes about the way people pick their topics, and that's probably the best one I've heard so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I leave my tabs open to do further research. Okay.
See?
So
was that one of you guys that's almost me. Fall off the back of this thing?
It's me kicking the table.
My goodness.
See, I'm the person close to falling off.
She gets nervous because the trivia questions. It makes her feel nervous.
I don't think you guys will get one of these.
No? Not a single one?
I don't think so.
Those two might. I'm not going to get anything.
So okay. I'm really into fashion. I've been collecting vintage for a while. And I used to be the type of girl that didn't, you know, when you said a designer's name, it sounded like gibberish to me, but I've learned them.
So you actually run a boutique now?
Yeah.
So tell us about that real quick before we jump into this, since you got into that subject.
Yeah. So I have negotour.boutique, not .com, it's .boutique. And, it's just, a collection of the things that I've acquired. I used to live in Union City and they had a really amazing thrift shop that I think that New York like fed it. So it had amazing finds. And I was able to go there for like 3 years, 4 years and started my collection and then it grew too big. And I'm like, let me just share it then with the world.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
So I'm super into that.
We'll make sure we tag that.
Yeah.
I
think the vintage stuff is just, it's made so well. And, I just found a place in my heart for it.
Okay.
So, So here's my first question. Who designed Madonna's iconic cone bra for her 1990s Blonde Ambitious tour?
I actually know this and I can't remember, and that's going to make me really upset.
I'll give you a hint. It's a he.
Somebody from the ancient Egyptian world.
Versace.
I think it was. That's a good guess. Was it?
It was no. Not Versace. It was Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Somewhere in the depths of my brain, yes. Somewhere. It yeah. wasn't going to come out, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a pyramid joke, but it didn't work. my pyramid joke did not work.
So I have a gallery. I worked a lot with Derek Gores, and he's having a gallery opening this Friday. It's called Eye Candy, and I just designed something with him in mind, Jean-Paul Gaultier, and the way he did stuff, so.
So you are using that art degree.
Where is that at?
You are.
That's in EGAD, O'Galley Arts District.
The EGAD, yes.
I think it's Pineapple Street, or no, the street after Pineapple.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, do you have anything coming up after that?
Yeah,
because this won't air till that's that'll be true. Gone. That'll be gone at that
so
point.
So I'm always working with Derek Gore's gallery, and it took me coming back here actually because I felt. You know, in the city or when we moved right outside the city, it was like isolating a little bit, and especially during COVID. And I always dabbled in art. So when I got here, I met him and I was like, thank God, because he has welcomed me with open arms and pushed me to be, you know, an artist. And even though I still air quote that I am an artist, I'm finally, you know, in a gallery and feeling the support from other artists around, and I can only thank Derek for that because
awesome.
It's been awesome. Yeah.
It's neat.
Yeah. So, okay. Are you ready for the next one?
Yep. Hit us with number two.
We'll see. This one's a little dark. What is the right. Kali Yuga?
The who?
The Kali Yuga. KALIYUGA.
It's fashion. It's fashion. It's
no,
fashion.
We're totally pivoting.
Oh, this is not passion.
No.
Or fashion. All of Did these I say are passion? Fashion.
Passion for
well,
fashion.
Sorry. Yeah, Valentine's Day is like next week, so it is what yeah. it is.
The Kali Yuga.
If it has something to do with Indiana Jones,
I was
Frank,
thinking that.
You know, tear it up.
I will make fun of it, and it will be savagely destroyed. I have no idea.
No. Okay. Yeah, this was one of my tabs open, which I heard it somewhere, and I'm like, what the heck is that?
But you had a tab open with that word, with those set of words?
Yeah, Kali Yuga.
Okay, I'm very interested.
A lot of times,
ooh,
I'm watching TikTok, so they're talking about a subject, and I'm like, wow.
Is it a type of food?
It's not a type of food. Are you ready?
Yeah.
According to Hindu beliefs, it's a period of 432,000 years of widespread moral and spiritual decline. Increased conflicts and violence, deceit and dishonesty, and guess what?
We're in one.
We're in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is that amount of time drives me nuts.
432,000.
It's like, okay, so we've been, I don't know. I mean, that seems a little depressing. And like, what about like, you know, all the stuff that the Greeks and Romans did? Like, there was some good stuff there. But I don't know.
It's what you make of it, I reckon.
We probably just kicked it off.
If it's a decline, it had to start up, you know, and then.
Yeah, but this dates back to like, I mean, even before Christ was born, like.
Uh huh.
To a point where you're like, well.
Now I know what I'm going to be reading all about tonight. This is the rabbit hole I'm going down.
So, and it
sounds
like they're a little
while.
Depressing.
It's a little
Maybe
depressing.
They're like, yeah, we just, everything's bad.
Yeah,
bad.
I think there's like four cycles and this is the worst one and we're in it and all of our ancestors are too and all of our children's and grandchildren's will be in too. I mean, 432,000 years of this.
Okay.
Sorry.
Now I'll be reading all
See,
about that.
Now I'm all depressed.
I know.
I'm still happy.
I hope your next picture, your next question's happy.
I'm still happy.
My next question is very interesting. Do you guys know who Robert Monroe is?
I've heard the name, maybe.
Mm-mm.
Maybe.
No?
Maybe.
Anybody?
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, he's the founder of the Monroe Institute, and that institute looks into hemisync, which is hemispheric synchronization of your brain. So,
nope, don't know him.
They do this with sound frequencies. They sync the left and the right brain up with sound frequencies to promote relaxation, focus, and altered states. Now, he wrote a book called Journeys Out of the Body, which is so fascinating. He was able to put himself in these trances and astral travel, right? What does that mean? I don't know. You just detach yourself from your body and go. And the part of the book that really sat with me is that he visited a friend who was traveling. And, you know, back then you couldn't call anybody on a cell phone or anything. You know, when somebody travels, they're gone and you just wait for them to come back. And he tried to touch or poke and he pinched her. And so when she came back, you know, he's like, hey, how are you? And he kind of started to see if maybe like, did you see or feel anything? And I don't know if he told first or she revealed that she has like this mark on her body where he had pinched her. And I was like, what? Like, I'm not very eloquent in reiterating the story, but like, wow. Like,
awesome.
For somebody to be able to go into a trance and know where their friend is, what the surroundings looked like, who she was there with, and also pinch her and her come back with something on her body that showed that, and to corroborate the story, yes, I was in a cafe. Yes, I was with a blonde-haired woman. Fascinating.
That's
to me.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
There wow. are so many things that we just don't understand
yeah,
about the world.
I agree. And these also came off of like CIA documents that were, you know, revealed to the public finally. So you can read a lot about it, but his book is amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's something else. Interesting.
All right. You guys ready for another one?
Yeah. Hit yes. us with it.
Okay. How did Columbus trick the Taino, T-A-I-N-O chief into... when he landed in Jamaica in 1504.
How did he trick him?
How did he trick him?
Ah, because he knew that there was a solar eclipse coming.
Yep, that's
and
right.
He told him that if he didn't do, then the gods would be very angry. And
yep,
would
the Christian
block out
gods.
The sun.
And that's exactly what happened. And they were like, holy cow. And yeah, they stopped fighting them.
So manipulative.
So manipulative. Yeah. But there is another book called The Faded Sky by Benson Broderick that talks about that. A lot of, you know, people in history have used astrology and sometimes to trick people, but definitely in ways, more ways than one. Yeah, like a lot of the big thinkers were astrologists and, you know, they believed in all this stuff, and kings and queens would come and want to talk to them to know when they should take reign, or, you know, they would be advised by astrologers. And right now, you know, in this day and age, it's very woo-woo, but it's always been a practice, you know.
Well, just the idea that you have any kind of knowledge that somebody else doesn't have.
Yeah.
And you can use that to your advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
Knowledge is key.
Yep.
Knowledge is key.
That is true.
All right, one more?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Which worldwide exhibit was banned in Australia due to controversy in practices?
Worldwide exhibit?
Yeah.
Hmm. This is recently?
Yeah, it's they've exhibited in different parts around the world.
Oh,
what's the body?
Yeah.
The body
what's
thing,
that called?
Yeah.
That's it. The body's exhibit.
I think
the
I remember hearing exhibit. About that. Didn't wasn't there controversy about how some of the displays were
all of, yeah.
obtained?
Exactly. And the controversy behind it is that they think that you're getting them from, you know, Chinese prisoners, and yeah.
Yeah.
Not a great way to collect bodies. But I've been to it myself in New York. It's wow. It's amazing, but
not the one where they have everybody kind of sliced into
yeah,
pieces?
Yeah, sliced.
Yeah, that was in Orlando for a while.
You look in there, mm-hmm. the insides, and it's fascinating in that sense, but it comes with a dark side too.
Yeah, I saw that when it was in Chicago. I didn't know any of that was to it, but you know, being from the medical world, that was it was interesting for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, but the wow. way they acquire the bodies isn't. And I just heard on Joe Rogan's podcast that the head of that the whatever the bodies thing, his wife found out that he was having an affair with like a local news anchor or something. And next thing you know, there's a body, and this woman was pregnant with an 8-month-old baby. Next thing you know, she's disappeared, and there's a body with the same age baby, and people are like, okay, I'm going to turn the other way. And
oh, God.
Yeah.
That is horrific.
So these exhibits have like really kind of crazy exhibits. I mean, like there are people chopped in half, or like you could see the inside of a woman's body and all this stuff. But like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
How many people thought to stop and ask, okay, but where did these displays come from?
I mean, people ask and he'll give them the answer, but nobody really wants to look into it. I mean, and these are in like major cities, New York, Vegas.
Oh, there's a lot of money involved in that.
Yeah.
Thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a lot. That was some trivia.
That was some trivia.
Wow.
There we go.
Nico, good job. Okay, so if people want to go find your podcast, please tell them again what it's called and where to find you.
Yes, it's Local Celebrity Brevard, so local_celebrity_brevard on Instagram mainly. I like to cut up my podcast and feed it to you in 1.5-minute increments of the best stuff.
Awesome.
And, you know, we get into conversations like this all the time. I try to, but really what I'm trying to do is highlight like the local celebrities, the people that are making waves, the people that like yourself and you know, anybody who's anybody. Every town has someone that's recognizable, that everybody talks about. So I'm just thrilled to be able to interview the best of the best.
Yeah, thank you for what you do, for sure. That's, yeah. And if people want to find your boutique,
nicotour.boutique.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us.
Oh, can I also say that my podcast is via Space Coast Podcast. Jesse Hall and I started collaborating, and we're a team now.
So you tell us about Jesse real quick, too.
Jesse has
We need to get him on here,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, he's been doing podcasts for, what, like 20 years?
Long time.
Even before, you know, the term podcast came about. So I just happened to meet him. Somebody wanted me to help them with their podcast, and I'm like, I don't know how to do that. So we called him one day and he's like, hey, do you want to help me? And I didn't have a gig at that point. And I was like, yeah, this is amazing. All these lights and cameras, like this is my speed. And so the first thing I pitched to him was this show, so that he can sort of generate some interest and stuff. And it just took off, and we're having so much fun doing it. And yeah, I'm pleased.
You got your own building down there and everything. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's super fun.
It's a really nice setup. Really, you have a really nice studio down there.
Thank you. That's all Jesse.
Yep, that's great. Yeah, he's doing great things, and you all are doing great things. I appreciate you so much being here and chatting with us, and good luck in all your endeavors, because you're doing amazing things.
It was so nice meeting all of you.
All right, guys. Another one in the book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or is it a book?
It
I guess
like
it's like an online platform more than it's a book. Maybe there's a book of... Maybe they're stored like books.
The file drive.
Yeah, maybe it's a bunch of files stored like books. I don't know. Blueberry podcast to podcasting thing, but Bob has them all stacked. So I look at them and they're stacked.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So today's was the one I posted today was episode 93. So we're actually 93 episodes in.
Wow.
Okay.
Amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty incredible. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to the Ears Podcast produced by Terrier TV. I am Frank Robb. That's who I am. And we're doing a podcast, if you haven't noticed that. You can find us on all platforms by searching Ears. Ears. E-E-A-R-S-S. And we really appreciate you being here. Thank you to Edna Wilson with Celebrate Remax Aerospace for sponsoring our program. Thank you to Pat Fisher Nissan. And maybe we include your name there next time if you want to be a podcast sponsor or a sponsor of Ears. So, thank you. And we'll catch you all next week. Bye-bye.